Beginning current daf mesech, the Shabbos daf kof chof ches. We begin on the top line of the Amud, but the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about, although generally on Shabbos, tircha, excessive exertion to do something that's difficult on Shabbos is aser. However, our Mishnah said there are two exceptions, for achnasas urchim, bringing guests, and for bitl beis medrash, if there are people, the b'nei Torah, that want to sit in the beis medrash and hear a shir, so then we'll have to clear out four or five boxes to make room for them. So then the Mishnah elaborated on what types of things are we allowed to move and which type of things are we not allowed to move. In other words, besides the concept of tircha, there's also the element of muktzah, of something that's fit to be moved or not. So the Mishnah spoke about different things that are permitted to be moved, and then our Mishnah spoke about things that are forbidden to be moved. And one of the cases is, as our Gemara was going to quote right now, avaloya satevel v'chul. However, tevel, that is produce that wasn't tithed yet, that meiser and trumas weren't taken off from it yet, that is not fit to be eaten. So therefore, although there's no problem about tircha, because you'd like to clear it up for guests and for people that want to learn, however, it's muktzah in its own right, and therefore you can't move those boxes. The Gemara asked, Peshitta, it's pretty obvious. Of course it's muktzah, it has no utility on Shabbos because it's muktzah. So definitely you can't move it. And the Gemara says, Lo yitzricha betevel tovel midrabon. We have to tell you, because it's not biblically tevel. That is, it's only midrabonon that we say has a halacha of tevel. That is, shazari bo'atzot she'in enakav, it was planted in a pot that's not perforated, it doesn't have a hole. In other words, if you plant something in a pot that has a hole, so that draws its nourishment from the ground, that's halachically, biblically considered as if it was planted, and that needs midiraisa to be taken off trumas and maizes. But if it doesn't have a hole, therefore we don't see it as planted in the ground, that midiraisa does not need to have trumas and maizes taken off. It's only midirabanan. So therefore we would think that since midiraisa, it is fit to be eaten because it does not need to have trumas and maizes taken off from it, that's why it would not be included in the halach of muktzah. And you would be able to move it. That's why I have to tell you that although it's only tevel midirabanan, still it's also to be moved, and the rabbanan status of iser is what makes it muktzah. The next case the Mishnah spoke about was v'loy ma'aser rishon v'chulu, and not either ma'aser rishon shaloy nitlu trumaseh, that it said in the Mishnah that if you have that a levy he gets the first tithe, the first tenth is taken off, 10% of the produce goes to the levy, and he has to take off trumas ma'aser, he has to take off another tenth from his tenth and give that to the coins. Now the Gemara thinks that when it says that shaloy nitlu trumas ma'aser, it means of his own trumas ma'aser, that is when he gets the tenth, he has to take off another tenth and give that to the coin. That also is something that's muktzah, can't be moved because it's, for his own purposes, it's considered not fit to be eaten because he has to still take over 10 to give it to the kohen. And that's the Gemara's Peshitta. Pretty obvious. It's just like tevel for Yisrael. He can't eat until he takes off the matanis that he's supposed to. And that's the Gemara says, Leitzicha shekdimu bikri. We're talking about that the Levi went and took his meister, the 10th of the Yisrael's produce, before the kohen took his regular truma gedayla, which is one out of every 50, or... And that was when they took it, when the pile was already smoothed out. And that is the way they take it. They cut the grain, they bring it in, and then they go ahead and they thresh it, and then they have one big pile, and they smooth out that pile in the threshing house. Then when it was already made into that pile of just the grain, he went and took his tenth from the grain. And that is shenotl mimendu meiser v'loy notl mimendu truma gedoyla. And he took off his tenth for the coin from his own tenth. But he didn't take off Truma Gedayla, which was what was supposed to be taken off before he went and took his tenth, and to be given straight from the Yisrael to the coin, but now he preempted the coin and took it first. So he took off his Meister from the Meister, but he didn't take off the Truma Gedayla, which was supposed to go to the coin first. Ma'a de Tema, what would I have thought that it would not be Muktzah and it would be fit, at least by the Evid, for the Levi to eat it? Kedama Le Rav Papa L'Abayim. Like Rav Papa said to Abayim, we brought on the previous daf, that there's two contradicting psukim. One says that the Levi only has to take off Meiser and a Meiser, but not Truma Gedayla and Meiser, in spite of the fact that he took it before the Kohen got a chance to take his Truma Gedayla. Another one says, Mikol Matnesechem, from everything you have to give to the Kohen from the Levi, that is even the Truma Gedayla, if the Levi preempted the Kohen, that he has to go ahead and give that to the Kohen also, not just the Meiser and a Meiser. And how do we resolve the contradiction? So Abayi said that, when do you have to take off the Truma Gedayla? That's if it was after Shnis Marach Bikri, when it's already smoothed and the pile was already became Dagon, which is when the Chiv of Truma really is Chal, when it starts. So therefore, if it was already the pile that was smooth, then you have to give it also to the Kohen, even the Truma Gedayla. However, when it was still in the ears of the grain, then we say that's only Maisim, not Maisim. That's where Abayi resolved it. And then Rav Papa asked Abayi that if it says that Maisim and Amaisim, it should always be, even not only when you took it by the ears of the grain, but even when you went and took it from when it was smoothed out in the pile, after it was threshed, and just the grain was there, also the Pasuk tells us only Maisim and Amaisim, only 10 from a 10. And therefore, we would say that even if he went and took from the before the Kohen, when it was already dug and everyone was ready to decree, then also it should be fit at least by the Evet for the Levi, and he wouldn't have to give the Truma Gedolah to the Kohen. And that the Gemara says, Kamash Mon, Kedushon Le Abaya. That's what the Chiddush of our Mishnah is telling us, the way Abaya answered to Rav Papa, that no, for you, that's why we have to say that other Pasuk, and that is one Pasuk is telling us that he doesn't have to give it, another one does have to say it, and as the Gemara before said, the difference would be when it's already starts and being called Dagan, and Dagan is when it's smoothed out in the pile, when it's just the grain, and that's the difference, and that's why we have to tell you that Chedesh, to say that we would think that maybe he wouldn't have to give it to the Kohen, and therefore he could eat it on Shabbos, and that it's not Muktzeh, and therefore you could move the box on that, and that we're telling you that no, that he has to give the Truma Gedolah once it reaches already Mishnah Smach Bekri, when it's smoothed out in the pile on the threshing floor, and therefore it is Muktzeh. Then the Mishnah said, "Meloyas Meiser Sheni b'chulu," and neither can we move the boxes if it has Meiser Sheni or Hekdish that was not redeemed. And that the Gemara says, "Pshita, that's also pretty obvious. What do you mean? If it wasn't redeemed, it's also to have anah for Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, and simply Hekdish. If it wasn't redeemed, it's Meilo." And that the Gemara says, "Leitzricha deniftu, but vole niftu kilchasen." It was redeemed, but it wasn't properly redeemed. So therefore, we would say maybe that it would be on some level be considered a redemption. It just wasn't perfect. And that we have to tell you that it's not considered redeemed at all, and that it's how is that? Meiser shebedoya al gabei simon. We're talking about meiser that was redeemed on a simon, which is a type of a coin that doesn't have an image on it. The Rachman Amr, because the Torah tells us v'tzarta hakesa biyodecha, which literally means that you should wrap the money in your hand and you should bring up to Yerushalayim and then use the money that you redeemed for the produce that you did not bring up to Yerushalayim. However, Chazal Darshan, that the reason why he uses that interesting terminology of a tzarta, is davish yesh bitzura, that the money that you're redeeming it on has to have an image. And therefore, if it's anasimon, that doesn't have an image, that's not considered redemption. And therefore, it's like you didn't redeem it at all. Similarly, hektish, shechillo gabe karka. Regarding hektish, it's talking about that you redeemed it on karka, on land. Rachman Amar, but nosna kesev akamle. That the Torah tells us, if you want to redeem hektish, then it's only if you give the money, and then it'll be your land back again, and then the money becomes hektish. And therefore, if you do it on land, that's not considered a true redemption. Therefore, in these two cases of meiser and hektish, if you do it meiser again on a coin that does not have an image, and on by hektish, you do it on karka, although you did redeem it, that's not considered a full redemption, and therefore it's still going to be considered muktzah because you can't have enough of it. It still has the status of meiser sheni and hektish on it. Then the Mishnah said, v'loyes aluf. That luf, which is a type of a bean, is also considered muktzah because it's not fit even for animals to eat when it's raw. However, Reb Shimon Gamliel argued and he said that it's permitted because since it's fit for ervin, for ravens, and therefore the wealthy that have ravens can use it, so therefore it's not considered muktzah. Another thing Gemara says, Tanabon, we're learning the Braisa related to this, metaltlen es achatzab. You're allowed to move chatzab, which is a type of a grass that it takes root and it goes straight down the roots, very deep. And it doesn't spread out onto different sides the way trees are, that the branches go out. And that's why Yeshua, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, he used this grass specifically as a way of demarcating the boundaries because it goes straight down and we know exactly where it is. It doesn't go to either sides and create a suffix. And the reason why we could move this chatzav is Mneshu Meichel Tzvim, because deer eat it. Vesachardl, you can move a mustard seed. Mneshu Meichel Leyonim, because doves eat mustard seed. You could even move broken pieces of glass. And why is that? It's because ostriches eat broken glass. And therefore, since it's fit for them, so therefore it's not muktzah because it has some utility on Shabbos. Amalei Reb Nosson. So Reb Nosson said to him, so you should be able to move bundles of vines. And the reason is because elephants eat that. Once you're saying about animals, if you found one in the world that will eat it, so therefore the same thing should apply to bundles of vines. However, Shimon Gamliel, the reason why he didn't say that is because Nami Yishchichi, Pilin Lo Yishchichi. It's very common that to have ostriches around, but elephants are not so common, and therefore he says that it's not considered prepared, in spite of the fact that you don't have either one of them. But if you're going to have an ostrich, that it makes that the broken piece of glass are not muktzah. But elephants is not so common. A person is muktzah the branches of the vines, the bundles of vines, out of his mind. Well, however, Amar Meimim. Memer qualifies this. And he says, Vuhu de isle namius. This that we said that the broken piece of glass are not muktzah because it's fit as food for the ostriches is only if you actually have an ostrich. And because if you don't, then obviously you're not thinking about that it has utility. But Amr Avashila Memer, he argues and he says, El de Kamalei Reb Nosson Reb Shimon Gamliel. Chavilis Moyes, he told him, Nisha Michael appealed him. So he, Reb Nosson had asked Reb Shmuel Eliyahu, wait a second, you're telling me broken glass is fit, it's not mukta because you can give it to feed to an ostrich. So he says, what about the bundles of the vines that are also fit as food for elephants, and yet you don't say that's the case. However, the way you're qualifying the statement that it's only if you actually have an ostrich, but if it's talking about that you have that type of animal, so if you have elephants, then why would it not be prepared? Why would it be considered muktza? Ella ro. Rather, he argues and it says that it doesn't mean that you actually have the ostrich, rather because it's fit for an ostrich. And since ostriches are more commonly found, even if you don't have one, so it's not muktza. Chanami ro. Heros is talking about that the ostriches, that it's fit for the ostrich, and therefore, again, we're talking about that although it's fit for the elephant, elephant's not so commonly found, that's why it's going to be mukta by the bundles of the vines. However, regarding the broken glass, even if you don't have an ostrich, since they're more commonly found, they're not going to be mukta. So Amar Abaye. Abaye says, related to this statement of Reb Shimon Gamliel, that Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon, Reb Shmuel, Reb Akiva, Kulu Svilu Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim. All these four Tanoim agree that the Jewish people are considered like princes, like sons of kings. How is that? Reb Shimon Gamliel Hadamar. Reb Shimon Gamliel is the statement that he just said that regarding luf, that this type of a bean that we said that it's not mukta. Why not? Because it's something that can be used by wealthy people because they give it as food for the ravens. Now, how does that permit every single Jew if every single Jew is not wealthy and is not a royalty that they have ravens as a sign of gedul of greatness? So obviously, the fact that he holds that it's not mukta is because every Jew would consider him like a prince, and therefore he has that status that, although he might not actually have a raven, but it's considered as if he has one to the effect that the luf is not going to be mukta. Reb Shimon, where do we find Reb Shimon saying that the Jewish people are like princes? No, as we learn in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, it says b'nei malachim sochen al gabi makasei and shemen ver, that the princes they can anoint on their wounds the oil of roses. And that is that on Shabbos, when they have a wound, we didn't make a decree of shchichat samamon, which is generally the decree that you can't take any medicine or healing items on Shabbos because we're concerned you might come to grind the herbs. The reason why we say that they can use that on Shabbos is shekein derech shel b'nei malachim losach b'chol, because the princes, they use this oil all week and they anoint themselves. And therefore, even without a wound, so it's not obvious that they're doing it for refuah. And that is, this that we made exam refuah is only if it's obvious what you're doing is for healing. But you can drink a hot tea that's not made, although it's helping your throat, because it's not obvious, it's only something that's directly visible as a refuah. And therefore, since princes, they use it all the time, they use it just to make to pamper themselves. So therefore, on Shabbos, when they're doing it for a wound, which is when people even not wealthy people, not royalty, would use it, the Shemen Vered, for their wounds. So princes can use it on Shabbos, because by them it's not obvious, because they use it all week, versus other people, it's obvious they're doing it for refuah. And however, Reb Shimon Omer, kol yisro b'nei malachim, Reb Shimon says, no, every Jew can use the Shemen Vered, because they're all princes. And that, again, the same concept that we find, that we have the status of royalty. And finally, Reb Shmuel, Reb Akiva, the Tanya, because learned in Braisa, if a person was being chased by creditors that they owed him 1,000, he owed them 1,000 mana. V'lovish itzlabaskov mana. Now, he liquidated his assets. He went into bankruptcy, he has nothing. But he's wearing a jacket that is worth 100 mana. So, mafshita noisai, umalvish noisai itzla ruila. So we take that jacket off of him and we give him something that's fit for his wealth. You don't have any money. You shouldn't be wearing and driving around this car and living in this house. We take that away and then we give you something that's fit for your status right now. However, Tanam Mishum Rebbe Shmuel, Tanam Mishum Rebbe Kiva, Kol Yisrael Ruin Lo Isa Itzla. Every Jew is fit for that type of a coat. And that is, he is considered royalty because he's a Ben Melech. And therefore, we're not saying that, well, I mean, you have no money and therefore you should give that to the creditors and then we give you just a simple type of thing, because it is fit for his status. And if we don't take away, even if it's worth 100 mana, we don't take it away and give it to the creditors. Again, the same concept that the B'nai Yisrael are considered B'nai Melech. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that said Chavili Kash v'Chavili Eitzim v'Chulu. They're talking about the bundles of straw and the bundles of wood that we said that they're muktza, and therefore we can't take. Although we're allowed to again clear out four or five boxes in the storehouse to go ahead and make room for the guests or for the people learning in the Beis Midrash, however, these items are considered muktza. So turn about when the Braisa that elaborates on this halacha. Chavili Kash v'Chavili Eitzim v'Chavili Zradim. Bundles of straw, bundles of wood, bundles of soft reeds. So it really depends what you have them for. And that is, imiskino lamaichel behema metalnoisen. If you had originally prepared it to be used as animal food, then you could move it on Shabbos because now muktzah. You plan on using it for food purposes. Vimlav imetalnoisen, like our Mishnah, but if you didn't intend it for that purpose, then you can't move it because generally they use as firewood, as different things that cannot be used on Shabbos, and therefore they are muktzah. Pshim Gamliel Oimer, he says, Chavilin hanitolim biyad echad mutal talan. If it's bundles, whether of the straw, or the wood, or the soft reeds, that can be carried in one hand, that you're allowed to move, that's not muktzah. B'shtei yadayim asur talan, but if it takes two hands to carry it, that's also to carry, and that's even if you prepared it for the maichel behemah for animals to eat, it's still considered tircha, and therefore we give it the status that of muktzah that you can't move it. The Braisa continues, Chavili siya, ezoi, v'kurnis, and the Gemara is going to explain what these items are. Hichnison le'etzim, if you prepared them as firewood, that is to dry them out and then to use it to heat up a stove, then emestapik mehen meshabbos, then you can't use from them on Shabbos. Again, because you were marked it from your das, you didn't plan on using it on Shabbos because it's only for something that's prohibited to do on Shabbos, so therefore you can't go ahead and use it even for non-muktzah purposes on Shabbos. L'maicha behem emestapik mehen meshabbos, but if you had originally intended, I'm putting this aside so I can give my animals to feed whenever I need to, then you could go ahead and use it on Shabbos because it's considered prepared. Also, you can take these items and break them with your hand and then eat them. As long as you don't break them with a vessel. And that is how it's normally done during the weekday. As the Gemara has said on Daf Ayin Dalam and Beis, that someone that chops up beets very small is considered like toichen. And that is, the same thing applies over here. You can't do it the way it's normally done during the weekday. So therefore, but you can break it with your hand. Moreover, you could roll it and eat it. As long as you don't roll it and thereby grind it with a vessel a lot, because that would be equivalent to the malach of dash of threshing it. That's Dibur Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. They say, you can only roll it with your fingertips and then eat it. Not only can you not use a vessel, the Chacham said, but you can't even do it with your hand the way you normally do it during the week. When you do a lot and you do that, even that's forbidden. You can only do it with your fingertips. That we would permit, but not with your whole hand. And the same thing applies to a misa, which the Gemara is going to explain in a moment what that is. And the same thing applies to all these different types of spices, that's the way you have to do it, again, either with your hand and not with a vessel, or with your fingertips and not even with your whole hand. So the Gemara asks, Maya Misa. What was this item that we mentioned before of a Misa? So we said, Ninya, that's mint. And that's one of the items that we mentioned just before regarding spices, that again, if you want to roll it, you have to roll it either with your fingertips or with your hand and not with a vessel. So now Siyah, we mentioned before regarding the bundles of Siyah, Ezav, and Kornis, that we said it depends why you put it aside. If it's for firewood, for heating elements, then it's Muktzah, but if you did it for animal food, then it's Mutter. What is Siyah? Amr Yehud, that's Sasre. What's Ezav? That's Avrasa, like it says in the Torah, that's Hyssop. Kornis, what's the third item? That's Kornisa Shema, it's called Kornisa. And that the Gemara asks, Vahahuda amaluhu man bay karnisa, but there was once a person that was saying, who wants karnisa? Vishtake chashi, and we found that was chashi. So therefore, karanis is not karnisa. And that the Gemara says, no, elasi is like we said, sasri, ezov is like we said, as afarasa, and karnisa, that's chashi, that karanis is chashi, that those are the same items, and therefore karnisa is chashi. And those, again, those are the things that we said, that if a person, depending on what he put it away for, that would make a difference if it's going to be muktzah or not. Again, if you put it for firewood, it's muktzah. If you put it away for animal food, then it's going to be mut. The Gemara continues on the halachas of muktzah. Itmar, we learned, Basr maliach mutu latat libishabbos. Salted meat is permitted to be moved on Shabbos because it's fit to be eaten. Basr tafel, but regarding raw meat that wasn't salted, Rav Huna still says it's permitted to move it because he doesn't hold of the broad spectrum of muktzah regarding moving. He holds possibly regarding eating, but regarding moving it won't be considered muktzah. Rav Chisda Amar Asla Tal, Rav Chisda says it's forbidden to move it. And that the Gemara asks, Rav Huna Amar Mutl Tatli, did Rav Huna really said that raw meat that's not salted is allowed to be moved? V'ha Rav Huna Talmud Rav Hava, Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. The Rav we know, Rabbi Yehuda Sfirli, his Rebbe held like Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay Mukta, that holds the broad spectrum of Mukta, and therefore raw meat would not even be able to be moved. And that the Gemara says, B'mukta la'achila sov like Rabbi Yehuda. That when did Rav hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that was regarding eating purposes. That is, he holds that it has a status of Mukta for eating, on that, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to eat it. B'mukta la'taltal sov like Rabbi Yehuda, regarding the muktzah status about moving it, not for eating. For eating, it's more stringent. For moving, that halakha Reb Shimon, that raw meat does not have the halacha of muktzah, that you would be allowed to move. And then the Gemara asks on the other amor, Rav Chizda Amar Asal Tatli, did Rav Chizda say that it's forbidden to move it? But Vaharav Yitzchak Barami Iklul Be Rav Chizda, he went to the house of Rav Chizda, Vachazahu Bar Avsa, he saw a piece of duck that was slaughtered, and to have a Kumatatli Le Mishim Shlotula, that you were moving it from the sun to the shade, which that it shouldn't get spoiled, which is a very lenient activity regarding an item. That is, because generally you could do something, let's say, kufay, for the intrinsic purpose of the item, or let's say, coming for the place taking up. But when you do it from chamal itself, from the sun to the shade, that has no purpose whatsoever. It's just that the item shouldn't get ruined. And they were doing this to the piece of duck in his house. V'am Rav Chizda, and Rav Chizda was heard saying, chasarin kis k'chazin hacha. I see that there's an element of money might be lost over here. And that is, if you leave it in the sun, it's going to get hot, it's going to get spoiled. So because of what he said, Rav Chizda, they moved it from the sun to the shade. Yet, so how could he say that a raw piece of meat is muktzah and you can't move it? And here we see that a piece of duck, he said, we're allowed to not only move it, but even from the sun to the shade. And that the Gemara says that, Shani bar avza the chazil umtza. A piece of duck is different than a raw piece of meat that's not salted, because it's fit to be eaten raw. And that is, when it's raw, people would eat the duck without salt. And therefore, that's why he said it's mukta. But a regular piece of meat that's raw and not salted, that he held is yes mukta, and it would not be able to be moved. So on this topic, the Gemara brings a brisa. Turn up on. Dagma liach mutl tatle. A salted piece of fish is allowed to be moved, because that's edible. People eat salted fish like herring. Dag tafel asl tatle, but a non-salted raw piece of meat, of fish, that's forbidden to be moved, because that's not fit for anything. Because people don't have intent to give it to dogs, which generally you could do by meat, because they don't do that for the dogs. Dogs don't eat fish. And however, salted piece of meat, since it's eaten raw, so then because it's salted, that is permitted. So again, the salted fish is mutter to be moved, and not unsalted raw piece of fish is forbidden to be moved, because it has no utility at all. No one's eating it, not the person, and people don't have in mind to give it to the dogs. However, basr bein tavel bein maliach motel tala, regarding a piece of meat, whether it's raw, whether it's salted, it is permitted to be moved, because that people have a mind to give it to the dogs, unlike fish. Tana rabban learned in the brisa, metaltlin es atzamos, you're allowed to move the bones. Mimneishu meichel eklavim, because although people are not eating the bones, but since people have a mind that they're going to give it to the dogs, you throw a dog at its bone, so therefore we say that it's not muktzah. Tinyan tamed beis, basr tefuach, but meat that was spoiled, because it's edible for animal, for wild animals, and therefore that's not muktzah. And my magula regarding water that's uncovered, which generally no one's supposed to drink because it might have the poison of a snake inside of it, is also not muktzah, because it's fit for a cat. And that is because the poison of a snake doesn't harm a cat, because snakes even eat a complete cats even eat a complete snake, so definitely that just the poison of the snake is not going to harm the cat. So therefore, these two items, a spoiled meat and uncovered water, are also not considered muktzah, because they're fit for wild animals and for cats respectively. Pshim Gamliel Oimer, he argues regarding the uncovered water, because he says kol atzman, the whole element of uncovered water, asla hashayisim neashakal, you're not to hold onto it in your house because of the dangers that are inherent in it, because maybe a person might drink from it. So therefore, it is muktzah, because you're not even supposed to have it in your house. It has to be far away because of the dangers, and therefore you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Continue with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kivin es asalaf neafrechim. We're allowed to turn over a basket in front of the chicks. And that is the chiddush that our Mishnah is telling us, is that a vessel could be moved for something that cannot be moved on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yitzchak, who argues on that, and he says that a vessel cannot be moved for something that cannot be moved on Shabbos, which in this case are the chicks, he says in the third parak of Shabbos that it's talking about b'tzarech l'mkaymer. When you need the place, when you need the place of this item, that's why you're allowed to pick it up. Once you picked it up already, then you're allowed to put it down in front of the chickens. But specifically to pick it up, to put it in front of the chickens, that you're not allowed to, because that is goes into the gezeris of muktzah, that you're not allowed to move it for something that's not movable itself. And that would be maktzit, which is aser. However, once you picked it up, then he agrees that then you're allowed to put it down in front of the chicks. Now, why would a person turn over a basket in front of the chicks? Kadesh el biyodu, that they can go up and down, possibly as a stool to get up to the chicken coop to come down. So you're allowed to do that in front of the chicks on Shabbos. Regarding Tanagul Shabbarch, regarding a chicken that ran away from the house, Deichin Oisa Achatikandis, you could push it until it goes back into the house. You can push it with your hands. Similarly, madadin agolim b'siyachin. A lot of calves and the young donkeys. In other words, that you can hold on to their throat and their sides and schlep them a little bit and to help them move, that they could pick up their legs and move. Similarly, isha medadada as bana. A woman can coax her child to hold his hands from behind and to push him a little bit and to get him going to walk. You know, they're walking in the street and, you know, she can't carry him, but she can go ahead and coax him a little bit to push him to go ahead and go. But Amr Bihuda, Amosai, when did we say this, that the woman can drag her son? It's only if the child is picking up one foot and putting the other foot down. And that is when he's walking. But if she was totally dragging him, and that would be forbidden, because that's considered that she's as the equivalent of carrying him. Again, so if the child's crying and screaming and saying, I don't want to go, and they will just want to sit down in the street, so you could coax them and hold them and pull them, but that's if they're moving their feet as they're going. But to totally drag them and their feet are being dragged on the ground, that's the equivalent of carrying, and that would be usur on Shabbos. So now the Gemara speaks about different heterim regarding the halachas of muktzah when it applies to balei chayim, to animals, as our Mishnah speaks about it in our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, behemish enough for la'amas amayim, regarding an animal that fell into a stream of water, that is these different irrigation ditches that have water that goes through it, an animal fell in. So maybe karma ksasas maneach tachtah, you could put pillows and blankets under it. Then also now, if it uses that to climb up, so it could go up, as long as I can't pick it up, the animal, because it's muktzah. However, I can make a way that it, a passageway that it can get up. And I think about this mace, maybe we learned, behemish enough la'amas amayim, an amla falls into this ama of water. That we can provide for it its sustenance where it is so that it shouldn't die. So the question is, it sounds like from the Braisa that parnasa in karmuk sasas loy, that yes, we can sustain it, but we can't put in pillows and blankets, because sustaining may sound like that it has to stay there. And karmuk sasas sounds like there's a way for it to get out. The thing about it is loy kasha, it's not difficult, because ha de efshe b'parnasa, ha de e efshe b'parnasa. That depends. One of them is talking about that it's possible to sustain it there, and the other one's talking about that it's not possible to sustain it there. And that is efshe b'parnasa in. If it's possible to sustain it, then that's what you do. You sustain it there and you don't take it out. V'iloy, but if it's not possible to sustain it, and that is, if let's say the water is very deep over there, then maybe karmic sasas manich tachta, then we allowed you even to go further to put pillows and blankets under it, and then it can go up on its own. So it's not a difficulty, it depends on the circumstance. Then the Gemara asks, yes, so you can put on the pillows and blankets because or else it's going to perish and you can't sustain it there. But you're negating the status of a vessel from its preparedness. And that is when once you put the pillows and blankets under the animal, you can't move it anymore. And that is because the animal is on it. And that's similarly to like a rabbinic seiser of a building. You're undoing the status of something. That is, when you have a building, you have an edifice, you have a structure. When you break it, seiser, that's a malacha of Shabbos, that you're destroying something from what had utility. So therefore over here, Midrabanan, they say that you cannot negate the status of something, because that's the equivalent, at least on a rabbinic level, of, again, taking away the utility of the item. And that's like a type of a stira. So how are you allowed to do that? And that the Gemara says, because Savar Mivata Kli Mechana Drabon, that he held that negating the status of a Kli is only rabbinic issa. It's not Dereis, as we just explained. Tzar Balachayim Dereis, but regarding the pain of an animal, that's a mitzvah Dereis, like it says in the Pasuk, Ozev Tazavim, you have to help the person unload his animal. And that those who explain the Pasuk because of Tzar Balachayim in Mesechtes Bab Metzia and Eilu Metzias. And therefore, Vasa Dereisa B'dach Drabon, and therefore the Dereisa, the biblical commandment of Tzar Bal Chaim, overrides the Isra Bana of Mevata Kli Mechane, of negating the status of the preparedness of this Kli, and therefore you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Our Mishnah said, Tanagulish Abarcha V'chul, regarding the hen that ran away from the house, you can go ahead and push it back into the house. So the Gemara is medayik, is infers. Deichen in, we use the terminology that yes, pushing with your hand you're allowed to, but medadin loy, but to go ahead and coax the hen back in, that you're not allowed to do. And that is, you're not allowed to hold it on by its wings and its and have its feet touching the ground and then walk it in. But although we said that regarding the calves and the young donkeys, but regarding the chickens, we find that we can only go ahead and push it with our hand, but we can't hold on to the wings and go ahead and coax it in. So the Gemara says, Tanil ha'dutan rabban, that supports what we had learned in the Braisa. We learned, medadin behema chayev o'if b'chatzar, that we're allowed to go ahead and coax an animal, a wild animal, and a bird in the courtyard. Avaloyis Tarnagolis, but not a hen. And the reason is Tarnagolis is my time alone. Why can't you do it by a hen? And that is Amar Abaya, they're different. Mishum the Makafi Navsha, because they pick themselves up from the ground. And it comes out that if you're going to be coaxing it by holding its wing and pushing it that way, that you're carrying the chicken. But regarding, let's say, by ducks, where if you hold the wings, they go with their feet. And therefore, by all other birds, it's going to be mutter. But by a tarnagolis, there it's going to be us, because although you're holding the wing and trying to have it walk, it picks itself up, and therefore you're carrying it, which that is us to do on Shabbos. However, regarding Rishus HaRabim, that even ducks are forbidden to go ahead. It's only in the chatzar that it says, because you might come to pick it up, and we're concerned, and then you're going to be carrying in Rishus HaRabim, and that is like the stomach is like the Rabbanon who argue on Reb Nosson, the Perek HaMetznia, and Daf Tzadi Dalet, that if someone is going and transporting a wild animal or a bird, he's chayiv whether it's alive or whether it's dead, and we don't say that a chay noises atzma, that a wild animal carries itself. However, regarding a woman that's coaxing her son, that's even in Rishus HaRabim, because even if she picks him up, that we do say over there that chay noises atzma, that a live person carries himself. As the Gemara over there says, that there the Rabbanon agreed to Reb Nosson that by a person, that would not be considered to be the chiv of Eitzah midairaisa, because we consider that the person carries their own weight. And that's why, again, we only said by the Behemah Chayav O'if that there you could do the Madadin and the Chatzar, but regarding our Mishnah that says the Madadin as Benah, that's even in Rishus HaRabim, because the Chayin is Esasmat, but regarding the Tarnagolis, you can't even do it at all. Even in the Chatzar, you can't be Madadin, because that would be considered you're carrying the Tarnagolis, which is Muktzah, therefore you can only push it with your hands, but you can't actually go ahead and coax it by holding its wing and trying to have a walk, because it picks up its legs, and therefore it's Asr to do that on Shabbos. So Tanachad, we learned in one brisa, medadin behema v'chaya v'oif b'chatzah. As we just said, that you can go ahead and coax a domesticated animal, a wild animal, and a bird in a courtyard. Avaloy b'shus ram, as we just explained, not in the public domain, because they were concerned that you might come to pick it up, and then you'll be over the issa deraisa of chitzah. V'yishem medad is b'na b'shus ram, but a woman is allowed to coax her son even in the public domain, because we said even if she will be over the Rabbanan and go ahead and pick him up, but that won't be the Issa Deraisa, because the child, which is a human being, carries their own weight. V'enitzarach le'mechatzah, and definitely the woman could coax her son to walk in the courtyard. Yet v'tani idach, in another brisa, ein oikrin behema v'chayev o'if b'chatzah, you're not allowed to go ahead and pick up the animal, the wild animal, or a bird in the courtyard. That is, to pick up its legs totally from the ground, because it's muktzah from carrying an animal, but you can only coax it. But you could push them that they should go and re-enter into the house. But then the Gemara says, when Hagufa Kasha, the Brisa, the second Brisa, it has an internal contradiction. Because Amrit Einayikrin, because the Brisa says, you're not going to pick them up totally from the ground, because then you're actually carrying them. But regarding coaxing them, that you're allowed to. That means you could hold onto the sides with your hands and coax it in. And that's more of a carrying than just pushing with your hands, which you just pushing from the back. Here you're actually going out and drawing it, but as long as it's moving its legs. Yet, then you go and you finish the brice and say, which is medad in law. It says, yes, you're allowed to push these animals and these birds, which sounds like, but you can't be medad, that you can't coax it. So how do we resolve that? So Abai says, that save for the end of the brice, which says that you could push with your hand, but you can't actually coax it. Ason Tanagolis, that's a reference to Tanagolis, and the ratio was told by other birds, and therefore it's not difficult because, as we said before, the Tanagolis, although you could push it with your hand, you can't actually coax it, because then if you're holding onto the wings, it's going to pick up its legs, and then it's the equivalent as if you were carrying it, which is also because they're muktzah. It's now related to this that we mentioned, that a Tanagolis is makafi and nafsha, that it picks itself up, it jumps up, and therefore you have to be careful, more careful, regarding the halachas of muktzah and Shabbos. So it relates to halachas of shechita also. Amar Baya, Haiman de shachat Tanagolis, if someone's coming to slaughter a hen, l'chavshinu l'kari ba'ari, you should push its legs down into the ground, that is, so it should double over, and that it can't have the energy to push. Or inami, or neidalahu meidu, you should pick it up very high from the ground, that its legs don't touch the ground at all. And the reason is, because the dilma monach le'letufri ba'ar, because if it's just standing regular, not totally pushed down or removed from the ground, it might push its leg on the ground. As we said, they're very jumpy. Va'okalu le'samanim, and then it might uproot the samanim. You come to shech, the jumps, and then you're going to take a slight wrong turn that's going to pull the semanim of the kana and the veshet out from its place where it is, and that will make it a trefa, and therefore the shechita won't help, and you won't be able to eat it. So therefore, again, when you come to the shech, either push it down in the ground that it can't jump up, or remove it totally from the ground and that it won't be able to push off the ground and make it into a trefa. And now we move on to the next Mishnah. Our Mishnah begins, Eime yaldin es be'eime be'yomtiv. We're not allowed to help an animal give birth on yomtiv. And that is because since it's a tirchi yaseir, it's an excessive exertion, and therefore that you're not allowed to do. As we said, tirchi is aser on Yom Tov and Shabbos. Av masadin, but we could support the animal, which the Gemara is going to explain what exactly does that mean, to support it when it's giving birth, although we can't actively be participating in causing it and helping it to give birth on Yom Tov and Shabbos. However, we could give birth to a woman, we could help a woman give birth on Shabbos, and definitely we don't have to say that we can support her, and definitely we could do that on Yom Tov. And moreover, we could even call a midwife for her from one place to another place that she could come to help her on Shabbos. And we desecrate the Shabbos for a woman that's giving birth. And we tie the umbilical cord, that's by the belly button of the child that was born, which is very long, because if you don't tie it, it might get wrapped around something else, and then it'll pull out its insides if you pick up the child, and therefore it's very dangerous, so you have to tie the umbilical cord. He says, not only can you tie it, that it shouldn't get stuck in something, but you could even cut it off on Shabbos. And also, all the needs of Mila are allowed to be done on Shabbos. That includes everything that's necessary to do, although you're going to be doing a Malacha Dairaisu when you're cutting off the foreskin and doing the whole Tzarchi Mila. However, Mila, which has a pasuk in the Torah that tells you, B'yom HaShmini, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So now the Gemara asks, we said by Behema, an animal, that we can't be Meyaladed, we can't actually give birth, be the ones that are helping it to give birth, but we can support it. Ketza Masadin, what does it mean to support the animal when it's giving birth? That's not such a tircha, which then our Mishnah says that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. On that, the Gemara says, Yehuda Amar, Oiches es Avlad Shle Yipal Aretz. You hold on to the child that it doesn't fall down to the ground. That's a way of supporting the animal when it's giving birth. If Nachman Amar, he says, you could push down on the flesh of the animal from the inside, that the child should come out, and that it should help it stick out and come out of the birth canal. Tanika Vasa Rabbi Yehuda, we're learning the Braisa like the way Rabbi Yehuda said it. Ketketsa Mesadin, how do you support an animal to give birth on Yom Tov? That is Oichsin Esavlat Shalibul Aretz. You hold on to the child that it shouldn't fall to the ground, as Rabbi Yehuda said. That is as much as you're allowed to do. V'nefeich lebechayim, you could also blow into the nose of the animal. And that is because the nose is stuck and stuffed up with mucus, so you can blow into the nose to help the mucus come out. And we give the child the breast of the mother into his mouth so that it should be able to nurse. And those are the things you're allowed to do. They're not such tirchus, so for that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. We would have mercy, we would cause to have mercy for a kosher animal on Yom Tov. And that is, we would cause the mother to have love for its own child. What does that mean, to cause the mother to love the child on Yom Tov so that it can take care of it? How do you do that? On Abaya, maybe Bul Shemelech, you bring a fistful of salt, you put it into the womb of the mother, which is obviously very painful, especially that it just gave birth. That she should remember the pain, the tzar led of giving birth. That will cause her to have mercy on her child if she had distanced her child, which sometimes animals could do. If she did it, then it'll cause her to remember the pain she went through to have the child. That'll cause her to again to have mercy and to draw back her child. Another thing is, mezalfin meishalya, we spray on the water of the placenta, that is, they would soak the placenta in water, and they would take that water and spray it al gabi vlad, on the child, that the mother should smell that smell of the placenta, which would remind her again of the pains of the birth, which are a certain love, it's a process of love that the mother did for the child, so then it will go ahead and reawaken those feelings of mercy, and that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But that's only for a kosher animal that we're allowed to do this, but not for a non-kosher animal. My time, what's the reason to differentiate between a kosher or a non-kosher animal? Because a non-kosher animal He does not distance his child. It's not what they usually do. And ve'imarachka v'lada le'makarva. And if it did distance his child, it won't take it back. So therefore, there's no purpose about doing this for a non-kosher animal because A, it won't do it. And therefore, you don't have to go ahead and cause it to love it because it does love it. And if it does not love it anymore, it won't help. It won't bring it back ever again. So therefore, it's only an application for a kosher animal, which that will allow it to do. It's not such a tircha. We'll allow it to do it for it to cause the love of a child. It's part of the process of the birthing to create the child, both in the physical process and the emotional process, in that sense of having the mother love the child to have the continue the existence of this child. So our Mishnah said, "Miyalna se'isha v'chulu," that will help a woman give birth on Shabbos. So Mechti, let's see. Tanilei, we learned in our Mishnah, "Miyalna se'isha." We can go through the whole process of birthing with a woman. B'karin l'chachama mimakom l'makom, and we could call a midwife from place to place. We're allowed to do whatever it takes to help the birth. So umachalun lesa Shabbos lesu yimai. What is the Mishnah then adding by saying that we desecrate the Shabbos for the woman? We already said we could do whatever it takes for her to have birth. We could call a midwife for her; she can come and travel no matter where she is. So what are we adding by saying that we could desecrate the Shabbos? And then the Gemara says lesu Yehuda Tan Rabban comes to include this that we learned in the Braisa. We said if she just needs a candle, so then chaverta madlekes lesa ner. So then her friend could go ahead and light a candle for her. That's what we're including. If she needed oil, so then a friend can bring her oil, even through Rosh Hashanah. We could do Haitzah Dairaisa. But however, the Braisa tells us, Biyad, but the friend that's bringing the oil should bring it in her hand, that is in her palm, not in a vessel, because as much as we can change and make a Shinoi, we want to make a Shinoi. So though we can Mechal Shabbos, but we want to make the desecration as little as possible. And therefore, since that's not the normal way of carrying it, it's a lower level of Chil Shabbos. And it's not enough to carry in the hand, however much you could carry, because a vessel you could carry a lot. In your hand you can't get so much. Then you bring it in your hair, and that is she smears her hair with oil. And when she comes to the woman that's giving birth, so then she wipes it off, and that's not Chil Shabbos, because since that's not the derech of it, so that's not how you usually carry shemen in the public domain. That won't be the Issa Deraisa, and therefore that's the way you should carry it, better than do it carrying in the vessel. But then, if it's not enough, even in her palm of her hand, and in her hair, then you bring it in the vessel, because again, we can do whatever it takes, Mechal Shabbos, even lighting a candle, even just if she needs oil to help herself, we can do whatever it takes, again, but you should be Memayin and Chil Shabbos as much as possible. But again, if that won't be enough, then of course you do it in the regular Chil Shabbos Deraisa. So now the Gemara says, Amamar, we just mentioned, if she needs a candle, so her friend lights a candle for her. The Gemara says, Pshita, that's pretty obvious. We know that Pekuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. If we need the candles to be able to see to help in the birth, what is the Chiddush in saying that we can do a light a candle even for her sanity? Again, if it's something that's necessary because of a danger of life, what's the Chiddush? And that the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha B'sum, we're talking about a blind woman. Since she can't see anyway, what is it that she's asking for a candle? We can't be Mechal Shabbos to bring her a candle. And I think Gemara says, Kamash Molon, then no, Isuve Mesvadaita. It's going to calm her and help her in this dangerous time of when she's in critical condition, giving birth. So then, because Savra Ikamidi, she will think, the blind woman, although she can't see, but she thinks if there's something necessary to be taken care of in the birth, Chazi Chavertav Adli, my friend will see and do it for me, but if there's no candle, they won't be able to see, so she's all worried. And if she says, bring a candle, that is the Chiddush, that even in such a case where she can't see, we could light a candle for her again, because it's critical, and therefore anything that's related to the birthing process, we can do it in Mechal Shabbos for the woman. So we said over there in the Braisa, if she needed oil, so then she brings it in her hand. If that's not enough, she brings it in her hair. So the Gemara asks, yeah, okay, fine. So when she takes it in her hair, she's not doing the Issa Haitzah when she's transporting it from her house to the hospital to bring it to her friend that's giving birth of carrying it in Rosh Hashanah, because that's not the way you normally carry. And that's not the Melocha Deraisa of Haitzah, but typically Mishum Schita. It should be a prohibition because of Schita, because what happens is when you come to the friend to bring the oil, you have to squeeze out the hair of the oil that's inside of it. So then why not bring it in the Kli? Because you don't have Mechal Shabbos in Haitzah, but you're being Mechal Shabbos with Schita, with squeezing it out. So that the Gemara says, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Damar Tavai, in Schita Basara, there is no application of Schita, of squeezing out a liquid from a solid item regarding here. Because here is hard, and it doesn't absorb it into the here. It might be between the strands of the here. That's not considered Schita. Schita is when it's inside the object and you're squeezing it out. So therefore, there's no problem with Schita. Even if you want to say that there is schita in here, that here does absorb the liquid, and therefore you're right when you squeeze it out, that will be a problem. But when we said that you bring it, she brings the oil in her hair, it doesn't mean actually in her hair. It's mevila bekli derchsar. She brings it in a vessel that's being carried in her hair. That is, she wraps her hair around this vessel, and thereby, as the Gemara says, the kama de eshlish numishin, as much as we can make a shinoi, doing something different, then we make a shinoi. So therefore, since although you're carrying it in a vessel, not on your hair, because else it would be schita, but since you normally carry it with your hands, if you carry it in your hair, that's not the biblical malacha beitzah, and that's why that's considered only isa d'abanan, which therefore we make a shinoi as to make the chilas Shabbos as little as possible. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Chaya, regarding a woman that just gave birth. So there's different madregis. As we just mentioned, a woman giving birth is in a critical condition. Therefore, we'll be mechal Shabbos. Now, how long does that last? What is a woman that's giving birth considered that we be mechal Shabbos? So, kolzman shakevet pesuach, as long as the cavity, which is the reference to the womb, is open, bein amrit srichani, bein loy amrit srichani, whether she says, I need something to be done for me on Shabbos, which would be Chil Shabbos, whether she says, she doesn't say, I need it, Mechal Lesa Shabbos. Either way, we're Mechal Shabbos, we see that it's important, it's critical, we'll be Mechal Shabbos. Nista Makeva, if the womb is already closed, so then Bein Amar, whether she says, if we continue on the top of Kof Chav Tesem and Alf, Tzrichani, whether she says, I need it, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos for me, Bein Loy Amar Tzrichani, whether she does not say, I need it, Ain Mechal Shabbos. We're not Mechal Shabbos because it doesn't help. Once the womb closes, she's not in critical condition anymore. And even if she says they need it, I'm not going to Mechal Shabbos. That the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Masni Hachi. That's the version of how Rav Ashi said this member. Mezutra Masni Hachi. Mezutra said it a little different. Amar Yehuda Meshmu. Chaya calls Matcha Kev Besucha. Regarding a woman that just gave birth, as long as the womb is open, Bein Amra Tzrichani, Bein Amra Ain Tzrichani. Whether she says, I need Chil Shabbos, whether she says, I do not need it. And that is, her friends are saying, no, you need this. You don't realize it's dangerous. And she's saying, no, don't be Mechal Shabbos for me. She's being frum. And that, he says, Mechal Nesha Shabbos. This is where he says it different than Rav Ashi. Says, even when she says, I don't need it, still you're Mechal Shabbos, because we know that she's in critical condition when the birthing canal, when the womb is open. Nistama Kever, if the womb has closed, then Amr Tzrichani, if she says, I need it, then this he also argues, and he says, Mechal Nesha Shabbos. She knows herself better, and therefore she feels she's critical, even though it's closed. We are Mechal Shabbos. However, Loy Amr Tzrichani, if she doesn't say, I need it, then Ein Mechal Nesha Shabbos, then we're not Mechal Shabbos. So Amalei Ravina Lemirema, Mazutra Masni Lekula. So Mazutra, which was the second version, he says it more lenient. He says that even when she says, I don't want the Chil Shabbos when the womb is open, still in Mechal Shabbos. And even when it's closed, the woman says, I need it, we are Mechal Shabbos. Ravashi Masn Lukhum, Ravashi's version was more stringent. He says, once the womb is closed, it doesn't make a difference. Even if she says, I need it, we're not Mechal Shabbos. And he only said, when the woman says, didn't say I need it, that we're Mechal Shabbos. But if it sounds like that if she says, I do not need it, when the womb is open, then we're also not Mechal Shabbos. So Hechasa Kaman, like which version do we paskin? So Amalei, Halacha K'mazutra, Halacha is like the more lenient interpretation. And the reason is, because Safik Nefash L'Hakka, when there's even a questionable doubt regarding a person's life, we go lenient and we are Mechal Shabbos. So therefore, if there's a situation of doubt, we will be Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, we go like the more lenient approach and we are Mechal Shabbos. Again, even if the woman says, I need it when the womb is closed, or even if she says, I do not need it, but the womb is open, we will be Mechal Shabbos.